fact that the Bible has the Old Testament, and the Old Testament has certain books in it. It has the books of history. These are all these books that are made up of the historical books. This is where all the stories are, like Moses crossing the Red Sea with the children of Israel, and Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, and Samson, and Ruth, and King David. And that's where all these stories are about. And in the books of history, we learn how God relates with His people, how God deals with people. In the books of poetry, these are the books that are the Psalms and Proverbs. These are the wisdom literature of the Scriptures. We learn how people relate to God because that's what they're doing. They're talking about our relationship with God. In the books of the prophets, we learn about God's greatness, His absolute greatness. And in the New Testament, you've got the Gospels, and that's the stories about Jesus. And in those, we learn how God actually walked as a man, because Jesus, who was God, came down and lived life as a man. And we understand how to walk as a perfect person. And then in the books of Acts and the epistles, we learn how men are to walk with God. And they share with us that, how we're to do that. But we've been looking, we looked last week, and we'll look this week, and we'll look in 2014 at a lot of the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. And one of the major themes that runs through the Old Testament prophets is the greatness of God. And last week we looked at some of the great passages about God in these times of the prophets. We were centering in a prophet that was speaking to the southern kingdom. His name was Isaiah. He was like with a couple of other prophets in the same time frame. The other prophets in the same time frame are Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? You know what's happening here in this picture? He's in the water. You see that? And he's getting ready to be swallowed up by big fish, yeah. And so that's Jonah. And so Jonah has some neat things to teach. We're going to look at Jonah in time. Hosea's there, and Hosea talks about God's great love for us. Amos talks about God and how He's strong and just. Micah talks about God and how people need to get in with what God's doing, because that's the best way for their lives. But in Isaiah, boy, there's so much in Isaiah. It's a long prophet, but there's so much. And last week we started looking a bit at the greatness of God. And so I'd like to take a couple of verses and look at God's greatness today. On the website, you'll be able to go up and look at last week's. There's some wonderful verses in Isaiah that are just powerful, and I encourage you to go to them. Here's one I want to look at this morning. It's from Isaiah chapter 41. It's verse 10. And it says this: "Fear not." Have you ever been scared? Do you know what that feels like? Well, God says, don't be scared. But, you know, it's one thing for somebody to say, don't be scared. It's another thing to give you reasons why you don't need to be scared. You know? And one of the reasons is, He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And it's a great verse that tells us about God is with me to strengthen me and give me victory. See, first of all, it tells us that He gives us a command. He says, don't be afraid. And this is the reason we don't have to be afraid, because God's with us. There's nowhere you can go where God's not with you. Isn't that neat to know? He's always there. I remember being a child and being scared, and when I would run to where my dad was, I wouldn't feel scared anymore. A tornado was coming through Charlotte at that particular time. I remember vividly in my mind. And I went running to the house because trees were breaking, the tops of pine trees were breaking off around a fort that we built in a woods. And I was running to my dad because it was the wind was blowing. I never knew it blow that loud. And it was a tornado that was coming through. It was a big storm was coming. Lightning and thunder. And I went running. I had about as far as from here to run to the gas station across the street. And I was running as hard as I could. And lightning was cracking. And the thunder was booming. And I was scared. And I was running. I was probably 6 or 7. And by the time I got to where I could get to my dad's, get to our yard, my dad was coming out looking for me. And it was so neat to see him, because I quit being scared. I didn't know at 7 that there wasn't a whole lot he couldn't do to stop all the wind and the thunder. I just knew I could be with him. And God's with us. We can just, he's always with us. And it's neat. And we don't have to worry. One of the things God did was he had Jesus come to be with us. And the Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is Isaiah talking to a king. The virgin will conceive and bear and give birth to a son, and you'll call his name, what? Emmanuel. And you see that name around at Christmas time. Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. God is with us. And that's neat. So we don't have to be scared because God's always with us. And then he gives us another command. He says, don't be discouraged. You know what it means to be discouraged? That's where you feel sad because of something that's taken place. And maybe you haven't felt discouraged, but I have. Have you ever felt discouraged? God says, don't be discouraged. And the reason we don't need to be discouraged is because, again, I'm your God. And that's talking about God's power. This word for God here, we don't see it in English, but in the Old Testament, it's the word that was used to describe God's power and God's strength. In fact, it's the word that's used when the Bible says in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's God who has all this power, who simply spoke and everything came into existence. You don't have to be discouraged. God's got all kinds of power. And you can trust him with that. In fact, one day in the book of Psalms, David wrote these words, be still and know that I am God. God spoke that to his heart. Just to be still. You know what happens when you get discouraged? You run this stuff around in your brain all the time. It produces a lot of fear. Have you done that before? It just loops around and loops around and loops around and loops around. And God wants you to be still and know that he's... There was a time in Israel's day, in the Old Testament, God's people, when they left Egypt, and after they'd left Egypt and come out of Egypt, they were in a valley. There were mountains on both sides. There was the Red Sea in front of them, and coming from direction was Pharaoh's army. And they were coming to kill him and to take him back into slavery, even though God had delivered them. And they started getting scared. And they got so scared, they started thinking wrong. And they were going to kill Moses, who God had raised up as their leader. And Moses came and spoke to them because he helped them understand that God was a God of power who would help them. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. Be still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. For the Egyptians you see today, you will see again no more forever. And that means the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And what God did was, he did what you can't do. Because God does that. He does the things you can't do. And what he did was he opened up the waters. Remember? He caused the wind to blow and the waters went on both sides, walls, and the people went through the water where the water used to be on dry land. You can't do that. But God did it. And God's power is a wonderful, wonderful thing to understand. Therefore, we don't have to fear because God's there. And he also gives us a neat promise. Look what he says. I will strengthen you. When I don't have any strength, when I am worn out from trying, when I'm worn out from doing stuff, God will strengthen me. When I'm finished, I just don't have anything left in me. Maybe you felt that way sometimes. Tell you what, if you've got little ones at home, I guarantee you felt that way at times. If you work a job outside the home, I guarantee you felt that way sometimes, right? You just feel like you can't, it's over. Well, at those times, talk to the Lord because the Lord will empower you. He will give you strength. Again, He's given us a promise. Listen to this promise. I will help you. That's God's promise to us, that He will help us. Isn't that a major promise? I mean, let me ask you, did He help the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea? He's not going to stand back. He's going to see things happening, and he's going to do something. He promises to come and help us. That's a major thing, folks. That's a good reason for us not to fear or be discouraged, because God says that he will help us. He'll participate. Can you imagine that? Here's the God of heaven who set everything in motion, And he just doesn't sit back and watch. He actually comes and gets involved with you. And whatever you need in that setting, he'll take care of. You might think you need something, but many times what we think we need is totally wrong. He'll do the thing that we need. And he'll provide for us in the task. And then he says this, I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See, God's going to just hold me up. He's going to hold me up. I need a boy up here to help me. I need one boy up here to help me. Whichever boy wants to come. All right, come on. I need you to help me. Come here. He doesn't know what I'm going to do. He's very brave, isn't he? All right. Come here a minute. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. It's easy. I'm going to hold you up, and I want you to let your legs go so that you're not holding your weight. Will you let your legs go so that I'm holding you? Just let them go right now. If I don't hold on to you, make it so that you'll fall down. I will not let you fall. Okay, you ready? Okay, act like your legs aren't going to hold anything at all. Okay, let them go fully, all the way loose. Because I'm going to hold you. Well, I'll just show you this way. Are you holding your weight up?
No.
Who's holding you? Me. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what God's going to do? God's so strong that He doesn't need two arms. He simply does it. I'm not going to do it because I'm going to have to pull on one of His arms. But, well, I guess I can do it this way. He's going to hold him up with His strong right arm. Because God is great. And He won't let you fall down. He'll hold you. He'll carry you around. And you don't have to worry. Because God cares. Isn't that neat to know? That we have a God who'll carry us around when we can't do it ourselves. Thank you very much. You're very brave. But that's our God, folks. As I did with that younger boy, God wants to do for you and me. He loves us, folks. He cares for us. And God has never fought a battle that He's lost. Ever. In the history of humanity, every battle He's fought, He's won. He's victorious. And He will hold you up. The right hand was always in the Old Testament. It was the hand of power and strength. I know some of you may be left-handed, and that's okay, but in the Old Testament, right hand was the power of strength. And so God says He will hold us with His arm of strength, and He'll help us. So God gives to me strength and gives to me victory. Look at this. God's with you. God is your God. God will strengthen you. God will help you. God will uphold you. That's what God does. So let me ask you, if you have a God who's doing, what's the basis of fear? Ain't a whole lot, is there? And yet, we live in a world that can be kind of fearful. And so if you get into situations where you feel fear, you need to come back to this verse. You see the number on it? Isaiah 41:10. Because it's a verse that tells us that God will help us. Can I share with you another one? Let me share this one. This is from the book of Isaiah 43 and verse 1. He begins talking to us about our fear because He knows we're just people and we can have a lot of fear. And this is what He says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You're mine. You see, this God who knows all the things, one of the things that this God does for us as individuals, you see here's just one man. He does it is He takes away our sin. He redeems us. He removes the fear that we have of God's holiness and God's justness, which is part of God. He does it by taking away our sin. You know how God took away our sin? How did He take away our sin? Jesus died for us on the cross. And God took away our sin. But not only has He redeemed us, He also tells us that He's called us by name. I don't know how many people are on planet Earth right now. 6 billion? Working on 7 billion? That's a lot of people. Did you know God knows you? God knows your name. He knows exactly who you are. Sometimes we feel insignificant. Sometimes we feel we don't matter. Sometimes we feel maybe nobody cares. God does. Because He knows you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows everything about you. And He can call you by name. I went to see my doctor the other week. I actually took my dad to see the doctor. And while I was there, I had two interesting things happen. One of the people who was who was helping my dad, who's a physician's assistant, I'd taken him and she'd seen Dad, and I went back up there to get some things for Dad. And as I'm there, I'm just standing waiting in line, and she comes right up to me, this PA does, and says, "How is your father doing? How are you doing?" You know what? She knew me. She didn't just know about me, she knew me. And then I'm standing there, and I'm still waiting to go in and get some things for my dad, and my doctor comes out. And I hadn't seen my doctor. I've seen my doctor, maybe four times in all. And I hadn't seen him in probably, I don't know, 4 months or so. And he comes out and he looks over at me and he says, "Hey, Daryl, you're doing good." He knew my name. I mean, he has a lot of patients. And he knows me. And I went, man, it's kind of neat that he knows me. Without looking at a chart, without me having an appointment, he knew me. Well, even better than that, God knows me. And He knows all about me. And He loves me. And He thinks it's neat that I'm His. Not only that, look at what He says here. He says, "And you are mine." To God, it's a great thing that you're part of His family, that you're His child, that you're part of one of His. And it's just a marvelous thing. And so, I love this picture because this is an individual here in the shaft. We are individuals and God knows us. He knows everything about us. We're His. And so He says, "Fear not, for I've redeemed you and I've called you by your name. You're mine." One more and we'll have to finish up with this one. But this is a great verse. I love this. It's from Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. And this is what it says. "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So He uses two pictures here. He uses water and fire. We're used to those. And those talk about difficult situations we can be in, right? I mean, sometimes you can be in a hot situation, situation that's just rough. Sometimes you can be in hot water. Hard situations. But God says we don't have to fear because when we go through those things, God's with us. Again, we have the picture of them going through the Red Sea. That's the water. You'll not be overcome. God helped His people with this problem. Because that's what fire and water picture are, problems we come against. And so He says He would take care of us. This is what a sad light would have seen if it had been over that at that day. When they walk through isn't that neat? Somebody did that on the computer and generated this picture of the Red Sea opening up for the children of Israel to go through. And that's the way it would have looked from the sky. I wonder if we'll get to view when we get to heaven and see the Blu-ray or whatever they got up there and see the thing. But God had them pass through the water. "And when you go through the fire, you'll not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." It's interesting. That actually happened physically, didn't it, to three guys. Remember the three guys? What were their names? Their names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were their names. You said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I understand that. That was their names that they gave in Babylon. But really, his name was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they would not do what the king said because the king wanted them to bow down and worship an idol. And they said, "We only worship God." And the king said, "If you don't bow down and worship the idol, I will throw you in a furnace and it will burn you up." And they said to the king, "King, we're not here to argue with you, but we know that there's one true God and we'll worship Him. And if He wants to, He'll deliver us from the fire. But if not, doesn't matter. We're not going to worship that idol." You know what the king did? This is how people are that don't, they get upset and they don't walk with God and they just act out of anger. He heated the fire up 7 times hotter. If you wanted to make them suffer, you'd think you'd cool it down. But he made it even hotter. So hot that the people who threw these 3 guys in, some of them actually died because the fire was so hot. But you know what happened to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? All of a sudden, they were bound in ropes thrown in there. You know what happened to them? The ropes burned off. But their clothes didn't burn. And they didn't smell like smoke. I don't know if you've ever been around a fire, but if you've been around a fire, everybody knows you've been around a fire. Because when you come walking in, you smell like the smoke of the fire. And they didn't have that smell. And all of a sudden, they're walking in there, and all of a sudden, there's somebody else walking in there with them in the fire. And I'm sure they're going, whoa! I mean, they expected to die and go be with the Lord. But instead, alive in fire. And the Lord's there with them. And the king sees it and goes, whoa, the person that's in there, we put in how many? It was 3, right? Why are there 4 in there? And he says, and the 4th one looks like the son of a god. He didn't know about the one true God, so he was just talking out of what he knew. And he said, I don't know who that is, but we know who it was, right? Who was that? The Lord Jesus was there with him in his pre-incarnate state. And he was there to take care of them and not let them get hurt. And so when they came out, the king promoted them to a high position because he figured if God's going to provide that kind of protection for them, they must be very special people. You need to give them in special positions. See, if we walk with God, God will take care of us. And you know what? What would have happened if the Lord hadn't have protected them? They'd have died and gone to be right with the Lord. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. You know, being with the Lord is a good thing. But you always want to walk with Him. And He protected them. But He gives us this great promise. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Don't worry about it. And He's not talking about physical fire there. He's really talking about the hardships that you go through. And the reason we don't is because He says, I am the Lord your God. There's this word that talks about God's relationship with us, Lord. And this is the word that talks about God's power, God. The one who wants to have a relationship with us is the powerful one who's the Holy One of Israel. And more than that, guess what He is? He's my Savior. And He'll save us. He'll protect us. Isn't that neat? Well, they're more. So I'm going to have to share with you some more later. There are some wonderful verses in Isaiah. And I think next week I'm going to share with you those verses where He tells 600 years before Jesus comes who Jesus is going to be. Because that's one of the things that the prophets do. And Isaiah has quite a few things that he says about Jesus. So we'll look at those next week. And then on the following week, we'll talk about a couple more things on the greatness of God. Because God is really great. When I was a child, I had a little blessing that I prayed. And I prayed it every day. And Mom would say, say your blessing. And so I would say this blessing before I would eat my meals. I would say, God is good. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. And so I would pray that every day as I'd have that. And then you grow up and for some reason you forget that this God who gives you your daily bread is both good and great. And somehow as we grow up, the world gets bigger and we sometimes allow the world's problems to get bigger than the God who created the world. All the problems that you face are simply for a period of time. All the problems any country faces are for a period of time. God is good and God is great and He'll be that way forever. And you can trust Him. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for showing us a little bit about Your awesome nature. Thank you for being both good and great. And thank you for wanting to have relationship with us and wanting to share with us in life. We thank you, Lord, that you've told us we don't have to be scared of the future. We don't have to be scared of the present. We don't have to be scared because you're with us and you promised us your power. You promised to save us and help us. And we just like to say thank you, Lord, because there are so many things we can't get out of. There are so many things we can't handle. There are so many things that are just can overwhelm us like a burning fire or a major flood. And yet we thank you that you're there and we can trust in you. Would you bless all of us, Lord, with the remembrance of how great you are? That when we face times that are hard, we'll simply look to you and call out to you and know that you can work in those settings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.